Readings from today's Mass are taken from the sixth Sunday after Epiphany. Brethren, we give thanks to God for you all, making a remembrance of you in our prayers without ceasing, being mindful of the work of your faith and labor and charity and of the enduring of the hope of our Lord Jesus Christ before God and our Father. Knowing, brethren, beloved of God, your election, for our gospel hath not been unto you in word only, but in power also, and in the Holy Ghost, and in much fullness, as you know what manner of men we have been amongst you for your sakes. And you became followers of us and of the Lord, receiving the word in much tribulation, with joy of the Holy Ghost, so that you were made a pattern to all that believe in Macedonia et in Achaia. And from you was spread abroad the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia et in Achaia, but also in every place, your faith, which is towards God, is gone forth, so that we need not to speak anything, for they themselves relate to us what manner of entering in we had amongst you, and how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised up from the dead, Jesus, who has delivered himself from the wrath to come, who has delivered us from the wrath to come. Please stand for today's Holy Gospel, which is a continuation of the 13th chapter of the Gospel of St. Matthew. At that time, Jesus spoke this parable to the multitudes. The kingdom of heaven is like to a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which is the least indeed of all seeds, but when it is grown up, it is greater than all herbs, and becometh a tree, so that the birds of the air come and dwell in the branches thereof. Another parable he spoke to them, the kingdom of heaven is like to leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal, until the whole was leavened. All these things Jesus spoke in parables to the multitudes, and without parables he did not speak to them, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables, I will utter things hidden from the foundation of the world. Thus are the words of today's most holy gospel. Please be seated. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. My dear friends, there are several passages in the epistles and gospels which seem to somehow contradict each other. The writers tell us two things in the same sentence which seem to be a contradiction. We have one of these cases today in the epistle of St. Paul when he speaks of tribulation and joy in the same sentence. Obviously, for the world, it is impossible to be joyous when you're suffering. We see this, it's obvious from the way the world acts towards suffering today. You can just look at how people who are in the hospital, no one can any longer suffer. They've got to be filled with drugs to make them not suffer. We can't speak to people when they're near death because it might upset them. We can't tell them that they're about to die, that they need to prepare their soul. People don't want to say anything about it. They want to keep quiet. Okay. Suffering in this world is something which is taboo, something which is to be done away with. Okay. No one can be suffering anymore. Okay. We see that all around society today. I'd like to look then today in this sermon at this subject. So suffering, first of all, and how we can be joyful while we are undergoing these sufferings and tribulations. First, we need to look at our Lord's example. We can look at his life. We can see that his entire life was, in fact, especially his public life, and the beginning, obviously, of his earthly life as a child, was a time of suffering. Our Lord came into this world suffering. He was born into a stable, no place to lay his head. He had to flee because Herod was seeking to put him to death, so they had to flee into Egypt. With nothing, St. Joseph, the Blessed Virgin Mary, had to take the Christ child into Egypt. They had nothing. They knew no one. St. Joseph had no work. And they had to make ends meet for the time that Herod was still alive. Our Lord was suffering during this time. During his public ministry, we see him constantly being persecuted by the Jews, suffering, and ultimately, of course, we have his passion, which is the greatest of all the sufferings, his passion, his death. Our Lord himself warned his disciples. He said, "If the world persecutes you, do not worry, because you know that it has persecuted me first. If you're going to be my disciple, the world has hated me, so the world is going to hate you as well. The world is going to persecute you and hate you because you serve me." St. Augustine reproved those who only want to speak about joyful things, because he said, "As a Christian, we have to suffer if we are going to reach our goal, which is heaven. If we are going to get to heaven, we must suffer." We need to let this sink into our mind. The world does not want to suffer. People in the world today do not want to suffer. Suffering is a terrible thing. But for the Christian, we know that if we are going to get to heaven, we have to imitate Christ. And to imitate Christ means to suffer. Those who have done any nation retreat will remember then the meditations upon our Lord's sufferings and also the meditation upon the two standards. St. Ignatius presents to us, he presents before our eyes all the sufferings of Christ, all the sufferings that our Lord underwent for our eternal salvation. He showed us these things because it is by this same path that we also are going to attain eternal salvation. If we want to get to heaven, we must travel down this road which is strewn with sufferings, with trials, with tribulations, with hardships. This is the royal way to Calvary, the royal way of suffering. He points out again in the meditation on the two standards that ease of life and comfort and pleasure are not under the standard of Christ, but on contrary, are under the standard of Satan. So those who want to have lives filled with ease and comfort and pleasure, then they are serving Satan rather than serving Christ. We must follow the commandments of God. We must follow our Lord's example through his suffering if we're going to attain our eternal salvation. One might ask, well, why do I need to suffer? Why does there have to be suffering? God is good, so God could take all this away. He could make it so there's no suffering. So why, if God is good, why do we have to suffer? To understand suffering, then we first must look at the question of evil. Many of the ancient philosophers, made the grave mistake of attributing evil to the devil. So they said that all good things in this world, God made them, and the devil made evil things. So they said there was two powers who created the world, the good and the evil. Well, obviously this is false. The devil does not have power to create anything. We know that only God can create. Our Christian faith, on the other hand, has quite a different approach towards evil. It speaks to us, St. Paul obviously speaks very clearly this in his epistles, about the spirit and the flesh. The flesh rebelling against the spirit, the flesh waging war against the spirit, and the spirit, on the contrary, having to wage war against the flesh in order to overcome it. We also speak in many times of the world, the flesh, and the devil. The fathers of the church have said these are the three great enemies of our soul. The world, the flesh, and the devil. Firstly, we have the shortcomings of our nature which lead us to suffering. Our fallen nature, we know that we have received this fallen nature in our birth. We have original sin on our soul when we're born. And we have this wounded nature, which is going to be wounded for our whole life. Grace does not completely take away everything that comes from original sin. We are going to have to suffer. We're going to have these weaknesses still in our nature. Grace helps us to overcome them, but it does not totally take them away. Our nature is not totally rebuilt by grace. Grace does not somehow wipe away all these difficulties in our soul. We must then fight. Unless we constantly fight to keep under control our wounded nature, it is going to be inclined to evil. This is one of the results of original sin. The children learn this in their catechism. We have this inclination to sin. This is a result of original sin in our soul. We are much more easily inclined to do evil than to do good. This is why we have to constantly fight against this inclination, to bring it under control in order to serve Almighty God. We also have our bodies, of course, which are material. So our bodies are naturally going to go towards material things. Things that are similar are going to be attracted to each other. So our body is going to naturally go towards material comfort, material ease. Our body is going to seek something which is the easiest. But as we know, this is not the way to reach heaven, to give in to the comforts and so forth of our body. At times we have to do penance. We have to suffer. We have to fast. We have to abstain. In times of temptation, we even have to do penance, strong penance, to keep our passions under control, to keep our body from running away and doing something it shouldn't. This is the way towards salvation. We must fight to curb these evil tendencies, this tendency to do evil which is within us. Secondly, then, we know the devil exists. So the devil is going about, as St. Peter says, he's going about as a lion seeking whom he may devour. He is praying for our soul. So praying, going after our soul, trying to capture it. A lion goes after the lamb, it goes after the zebra, whatever. It wants to capture it, to eat it. The devil wants our soul. He desires our eternal damnation. And he's going to do everything he can to bring this about. He's going to tempt us. He's going to try to put pitfalls in our way. And so we must constantly fight against these allurements of the world and so forth that he's going to put in our way to try to seek the damnation of our soul. Thirdly, then, we have the world. We just need to look at the world around us, certainly to see that it is not a world which is serving God. We have all the temptations, we have the immorality, the immodesty, all the advertisements, the billboards, magazines, papers. They're constantly filled with all this rubbish of Satan, trying to seek the damnation of souls. All these things are helping Satan in his work. And so we must fight against this. The world will be a source of temptation for us. If we're not fighting, we will be taken in by the things of this world. And so these are the three classical distinctions of our enemies, which were given by the fathers of the church. All of these three things will indeed be sources of suffering for those who want to do good, who want to serve Christ. So as a result of these three enemies, as a result of having to resist evil, of having to try to keep our soul in the state of grace, it's not always going to be an easy task. It is not always going to be something which is enjoyable. On the contrary, in fact, it can be quite painful. It can be quite unpleasant at times to have to do what is right. Our nature wants to do something quite opposite. And so we have to fight. We have to do something which is difficult, something which is unpleasant. Our Lord himself made reference to this several times in his public life. He told his disciples, "I did not come to bring peace, but to bring war." This war is within our souls. We are constantly waging war against our weaknesses, against our wicked tendencies, against the devil, the world, and the flesh. We are constantly waging war against them to keep our soul going on the right path to serving Almighty God. We can also then see that the church undergoing persecution. There's people around us who do not like God, who hate God with from the depths of their heart. And they're going to do whatever they can to try and destroy him, to try and destroy the church. And we see it happening. We see the Holy Mother of the Church being persecuted. Maybe not always openly, but certainly by the modern way of thinking and so forth. This is a persecution against the church. It is totally contrary to the teachings of Christ. And all of this is constantly coming at us, trying to convince us that everyone has to be left free, everyone has to be able to do whatever they want. These people who are living improperly, they have to be allowed to do this because it's their freedom. Again, society is encouraging people to sin rather than encouraging them to serve Christ. And the church, if she's doing what she's supposed to do, is going to stand up against this. And we see, obviously, with Vatican II, what happened. Okay? We must open the door to the modern world. We must welcome the world in. And obviously, maybe the intention was worthy in the beginning. Okay, we're going to make ourselves more likable to the world and we'll get people to convert. Obviously, it's not the case. In fact, what's happened, the churchmen have gone the other way. They have become like the world. They're no longer serving Christ, but they're serving the world. And we see the damage being done to the church every day. So this same kind of attack on the church is happening to us. Okay, we're going to be attacked if we serve our Lord. We're going to have to suffer if we want to serve Christ. Those who do not like Christ, those who hate God, are going to hate us if we serve Almighty God as we should. But we have, my dear friends, the example in our blessed Lord. We must remember that Christianity without the cross, without suffering, is like a car without gasoline. If we don't have gasoline in our car, we're not going to go very far. Our engine is going to stop, the car is going to stop, and it won't move anymore until we put gasoline in the car. Same thing with Christianity. If we don't have suffering, if we don't have the cross, then we're not united to Christ. We're not going to get to heaven. It's not going to bring about the end which God had in establishing the church. And so we must suffer, my dear friends. So if we're suffering, then how can we be happy? How can we be joyful if we're suffering? So we must answer finally this question. This joy which we experience in suffering comes from Christ Himself. It doesn't come from the world. It doesn't come from ourselves. It comes from Almighty God. Almighty God will put this joy into our hearts. God is our Father. He's a good Father. He knows the weaknesses of our nature. He knows the tendencies that we have. He knows that our own human nature, our own body, is going to tend to go towards things which are comfortable and easy and soft. And so He's going to give us the graces we need. He's going to give us this peace in our soul if we make these efforts which are required. If we give ourselves completely to serving Him, to conquering our own self, to conquering our nature, to conquering our evil tendencies, our evil passions, then He will give us this peace of soul. It is He who puts this peace of soul in our hearts. We can see this in the saints. They suffered greatly in their lives. Many of them were persecuted. Many of them had great illnesses and so forth. And yet, they were always at peace. St. Teresa of the Child Jesus, 24 years old when she died, very young when she died, terrible sufferings from tuberculosis, and yet she was always at peace. In spite of all the pain, they didn't have all these painkillers they have now, so you can imagine the pain and suffering she was having, and yet she had a great peace in her soul. Even though her body was suffering physically, she was at peace. She had joy in her heart. She had the joy of God. You can see it on her face. Photographs and pictures of her in her suffering. You can see the sanctity in her soul. You can see that she was at peace. You can see that she was happy, even in spite of all of her sufferings. This comes from God. God gives those who serve Him this peace of heart. He fills our heart with true peace. He also fills our heart with supernatural strength. Because, of course, we do need strength to do battle. And it is a battle, constant battle, against ourselves, and especially at the end of our life. We know, those of you who are trying to do good, you know that Satan is always there to try and stop you. The more you try to do good, the more Satan is going to try to stand in the way. And he knows that if he lets us go beyond a certain point, he's going to lose control. The more we go towards God, the less control he has, the less influence he's going to have on our soul. And so the more we try to serve God, the more he's going to try and stand in our way. It's logical. So we just have to continue to do battle. But God gives us the strength. He gives us the strength necessary to serve Him and to gain that victory. Our Lord conquered Satan. He conquered all the evil in this world. and he will give us the same grace that we need to do the same thing. And so if obviously if we forget about original sin, if we forget about our own sins, because obviously we do sin ourselves, and this suffering can be a punishment for our sins. Many sufferings, if you think about it, in the world today, come because of sin. People are doing things they shouldn't do. Innocent souls may be suffering because other people have done things they shouldn't have done and have resulted in some kind of suffering on another person's part. Okay? This is a punishment for sin. Maybe the person themselves are not responsible, but someone else has sinned. And so this is a punishment for what they have done. Okay? So suffering without original sin, without understanding actual sin, then we cannot understand suffering. Suffering is there because of sin, because of our own sins and because of actual sins. And only with our faith, only with the eyes of the faith, can we understand suffering. Can we make good use of suffering and be at peace, to be joyful in the time of suffering. It's our faith which gives us these eyes to see the spiritual benefit which is going to come, the grace, the glory which we're going to have in heaven as a reward for our sufferings. So let us pray, my dear friends, during this Mass. Let us pray to the Blessed Virgin Mary. Let us ask her for the grace that we need to have this spiritual outlook on things, to see all these sufferings, to see all these tribulations, to see all these trials as coming from the hand of God, as a means for sanctifying our soul, giving us a means to unite ourselves to our Lord's cross, to unite ourselves to Calvary, to unite ourselves to our Lord's sufferings, to be like our Lord. We can only imitate him if we imitate his sufferings. So let us always see in these things, let us ask Our Lady to help us to see in these things the means for our sanctification, the means for our eternal salvation in heaven. Let us also pray then for fidelity, for courage. We need courage. We have to be strong. We have to be brave in our sufferings, to continue living according to Christ's laws, in spite of the difficulties we experience, in spite of the temptations, in spite of all the stumbling blocks that we have put before us. We need God's grace to do this. So let us ask for this grace today during this Mass. And let us finally ask that our will could always be united to God's will. A lot of times our suffering comes because we want something contrary to what God wants. And so we suffer as a result of that. So let us ask our Blessed Lord today for this great grace, that we could imitate him, we could always unite ourselves to him, and that at the end of our life then, that we'd be found worthy to enter into the kingdom of heaven. We'll have true peace then. We'll have true happiness then. And that happiness will never be taken away. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.